This podcast is paid for by Principal. No matter who you are or where you are in life, with the right financial partner, progress is possible. Welcome to Progress Personified. My name is Justin Warner. Charting career progress, navigating promotions and raises can certainly be challenging. But it can be especially challenging for women who've historically made less on the dollar than men and who can sometimes find themselves butting up against the proverbial glass ceiling. Luckily, these women have an ally.
My name is Minda Hartz, and I'm the founder and CEO of The Memo. We conduct career boot camps for women of color in different cities, helping them navigate their career cycle.
Minda Hartz is an advocate for women in the workplace for one simple reason. She never had one. And as a woman of color, there were times she really could have used one. Growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, Minda has always been what you might describe as a go-getter.
If you ask my mother, I've always been a hustler. That's just the life that I lived. So hustling with purpose, I like to say. I remember a time my father was a preacher, and he still is, and the church didn't have enough to have enough resources to have an event for kids. And I remember being 13 years old, and I get on the phone. Back in the day, you know, I had the Yellow Pages, and so I open up the Yellow Pages book, and I just start calling different businesses and saying, hey, we're having this local community event. We'd love for you to donate. And through that, I funded the whole children's program that we did.
It wasn't just the church that had money troubles, though. Minda's family faced hardships at home.
We had very humble beginnings. I grew up in a house with household income less than $25,000 a year. So for me in high school, it was working to help pay the bills. I had two younger brothers, so helping support them. There was a point in junior high school where we were homeless for about a year. And I used to have a friend of mine drop me a block away from my old house just so that they wouldn't know that I didn't have a place to stay.
Even when she and her family had no home and she was juggling schoolwork with Dairy Queen work, Minda always believed that progress was possible.
I knew that there was more out there for me. And so regardless of my circumstances, I knew that I was meant for something bigger than the Dairy Queen.
So Minda, you're a teenager at this point. I want to know how you know that there is more for you.
You know, I used to say that you can't teach ambition, but I think that you can. But for me, it was just something in me that knew that despite my circumstance, that I had the power to change my circumstance. And so I knew what made me uncomfortable having to use food stamps at the store. I knew what made me uncomfortable participating in the free lunch program at school. You know, all those things made me feel like I didn't have a seat at the table.
Even with buckets of ambition, Minda didn't have an experienced role model in her life to show her how to change her circumstances. So she found guidance in an unlikely place.
Watching certain minorities on TV really helped show me what I could aspire to be. So seeing people that look like me that were doctors, seeing people that look like me that were lawyers, those were my role models in a sense of professionalism. And so my parents gave me the moral compass. And then through television, I was able to see what I could aspire to be. And so that was great.
While watching these shows, Minda noticed a theme. Many of the characters who were successful in their careers were the ones who had obtained a college degree. And so she was determined to become the first person in her family to go to college.
I knew that college was my way out, if you will. And so education was really important to me, and it was my lifeboat.
Minda was able to make that dream a reality, getting admitted to the University of California, Los Angeles, and paying her own way to a degree in communications. What was next for you after college?
After college, I moved to downtown Chicago, and I remember living in a room probably smaller than we are right now.
It's a small room. It looks like an IKEA advertisement.
But, you know, it was amazing because for me, for the first time, you know, for me, I did the necessary steps on the path. So when I was younger, I mentioned seeing people of color being successful. So I can check the box. I now have the degree. And for me, I just felt like sky was the limit.
Minda had set out to get a degree, and once she had it, she felt like nothing could stand in her way.
I thought that once you had your degree, that was enough. I thought that everybody was, you know, kumbaya around the table, and that, you know, if you do really great work, then you get promoted, and, you know, all the things that you fantasize that happen in the workplace.
But like many graduates, she quickly learned that a degree only takes you so far in the workplace.
So, you know, in college, they teach you the theory, but in a real life world, they don't teach you the practice. And entering the workforce for me was really, it was a blessing and a curse, I'd say, because, you know, I did all the work on paper. And so when I entered the workforce, I didn't realize that in these certain situations that I'd be sometimes the only woman and sometimes the only woman of color. And so nobody prepares you for those kind of conversations. And so for the first few years of my career, I just kind of kept my mouth closed, even when I saw certain things that were compromising in terms of, you know, how maybe some people of color were treated, or those glass ceilings that, or those biases.
Wait, what sort of biases?
There are certain biases that, you know, women of color and underrepresented groups have in the workplace. And so you did kind of just have to wait it out and hope that something changes, because if you speak up on it, then you could be seen as combative. You don't want people to give any reason why you shouldn't belong there. And so for me, I kept quiet, did my job, did it well, and hoped that that was enough to push forward. And I felt like, you know, there has to be a way to navigate these waters in a professional way and not lose myself. Because for a little bit, I began to lose myself. I had to remind myself that, Minda, you are worthy. You are here. You are competent. You're good at what you do.
So was there anyone at work you could talk to about this kind of stuff?
I've never had that person that I could go and talk to. And so I think that's difficult, especially for women. If sometimes you feel like this is just something you might have to settle for, and this is the way that life works. And if you don't have an outlet to where you can talk about those things that are hard to deal with, then, you know, you're going to die. The song by Lauryn Hill, Killing Me Softly, it's just going to kill you softly if you don't do something about it. And so I came to a point in the road where I wanted to do something about it.
For Minda, doing something about it meant taking a positive, proactive approach to addressing the hardships she encountered in her career.
So they say in business that you have to create something that you wish existed. And for me, I read a lot online, 10 ways how to do this and 10 ways how to do that. But I didn't feel like there was that career practice versus theory. I knew that I wanted to do something for all women, but specifically women of color, so that they felt like there was a place for them.
So what's the timeline like from deciding you want to create this space to having it up and running?
For almost a year, I went back and forth about the idea. You know, is this something I've made up in my mind that women want this and women of color want this? Or am I just in my own feelings because I wish I had this? And so I realized that if I'm not going to be that voice for somebody else, then who's it going to be?
Once Minda made up her mind to start an organization for women's career development, she had to decide what she'd call it.
You know, it's funny because when you're starting a business, you're trying to think of all these, like, oh, what's the sexy name? And for me, I was literally leaving a talk that I was doing in D.C., and I was riding on the Amtrak back to New York, and I was listening to Drake, and there was a song, and he said, "Did you not get the memo?" I'm like, oh, yeah. The memo. Women need to get the memo. They can have more. They can ask for more. And so I just kind of went with that. Did y'all boys not get the
memo? All right, so you've got this up and running. What's your organization look like? What's it doing?
So the memo, originally when it first started, it was a community, almost like a blog, just sharing stories and experiences, and how do we survive through this, and what can we do to build better relationships in the workplace.
But the memo quickly grew beyond sharing stories to extending practical boots-on-the-ground training for women in the workplace.
We started doing pop-up career boot camps in different cities to say, okay, we think that women of color want more. And so it's important for us to break that glass ceiling. And so for us, it was having these pop-up career boot camps in salary negotiation, career transitioning, how to leverage your network, and so forth. So these are the pillars of what helps women build their career. So if you have a really good network, then you can navigate different waters. You don't feel stuck. If you aren't asking for more, then you're never going to make more. So what does that look like? So we have a 3-hour boot camp on a Saturday, and any woman that gets up on a Saturday morning to come learn about how to do more in their career and navigate the water, they're serious as hell. They're very serious about their career.
You're helping all these women achieve success in their jobs, but what's success for you?
Success for me is every Saturday when we do a boot camp, because I get excited when I see a woman come through boot camp and she says, you know, I feel stuck and I don't know how to do this, or I want to get to the C-suite, but I've never seen anyone that looks like me. And I get to tell my story. And so that inspires them. But not only that, we have them write down their 30, 60, and 90-day goals. So for me, when they email me and say, guess what? My 90-day goal, I did it. I got more money, or I made the transition. I mean, that's where, for me, I just do like a praise dance throughout my house, because it's when they win. All of these women have the skill set. They're working on themselves. And half the battle is just seeing yourself at the table. But if you don't see anyone that looks like you, then sometimes you don't feel like you belong. And so I'm helping the next generation of women create seats for each other so that they don't have to sit at the lunch table by themselves.
The Memo has only been operating for a year, but already Minda's work has gotten the attention of others in a big way.
Over the summer, there was a State of Women Summit in Washington, D.C., hosted by the First Lady, Michelle Obama, and I was invited to attend as a change maker for women's issues. And first of all, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. And then once I got there to D.C., I just had to pinch myself, because I was surrounded by other change makers. And I looked back at kind of in my rearview mirror, and I saw the girl working at Dairy Queen. I saw the girl who didn't have a place to live. And it just, you know, I get a little bit emotional about it, because if I would have stopped at any one of those points in the road, I never would have been sitting there.
Looking in the rearview mirror, Minda can see how far she's progressed. But most of the time, she's looking forward at all that she still wants to accomplish. She won't be satisfied until every woman knows there's a seat for her at the boardroom table. To learn more about the amazing work being done by Minda and her team at The Memo, visit myweeklymemo.com. My name is Justin Warner, and this is Progress Personified. Thanks for listening. This podcast was created by Guardian Labs US and paid for by Principal. Produced by Carrie Budge and Devin Taylor. Presented by me, Justin Warner. Sound designed by Pascal Wise. And the series editor was Sachin Chanalekar.